Here he comes. Are you ready concerning your sin? But the second thing is found in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. That if we took the time this morning, you're familiar with starting in chapter number 1 or 2 where it begins. But anyway, we're going to look at chapter 2 where he starts talking to those seven churches. Amen. He starts talking to those seven churches in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 2, in verse number 1, if you will, he talks to the church named Ephesus. Amen. This was a literal church, but I believe also it was a time period. And if you know what that means, then that's good. If you don't, we'll preach on it and talk about it later on. Amen. Brother Brent talked about it in Sunday school. But he's talking here to the church of Ephesus. And notice verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I mark these words, I know thy works. God knows your works too. He knows our works. And thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They had even false teachers and preachers back then. Amen. We still got a lot of them today. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored. They've labored for the name of the Lord. Thank the Lord. May He help us too as well. And hast not fainted. Amen. They've kept on keeping on. Amen. We need to do the same thing as well. You say, boy, that sounds great. Let's go home and shout on that. Amen. But notice the next verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I ask you this question this morning, and you can read the verses to follow later on. But I ask you this question, are we ready when it comes to our sin, but we're ready when it comes to our service? Are we ready when it comes to our service? You think about the last few months, we've not been able to have church like we normally would have. Y'all have to forgive me, I'm getting a little warm. I hope I don't freeze y'all. But you think about, we haven't been able to have church like we normally would. And I don't know about y'all, it's bothered me a ton. I've missed it, I've wanted it, it's broke my heart over it and everything else, and I'm sure some of y'all too. But you think about simply today, just because we don't have church service, visitation, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, that doesn't mean our service for God has been postponed. Amen? It doesn't mean it should stop. But you know what I believe has happened in a lot of people's hearts and lives? It's been postponed. It's been postponed. When the governor or our leaders took and they said, everybody needs to stay at home as much as possible, no more groups of, you know, 5, 10, 1, you know, whatever they had to at one point, right? You can't do, you know, all this type of stuff. And I believe it was sound advice for the time. When they went to that, some people said, well, guess what happened? Their service went on hold too. Their service for God went on hold. That was it. May I say today how shallow that is if that's the case in our lives. I don't say that out of meanness. I say that out of love. I think about the first week that we stayed at home, I listened to a good preacher friend of mine in his church. And he did it live from his church, Facebook. And he's a great preacher, good man, loves the Lord. And he preached, him and like two other people was there in his church, and they got a larger church. And here he was preaching to nobody and nothing. I come in here preached in the dark with the lights off, except for a little one row of light those first few weeks. Now that was really hard, but anyway, I'll leave that alone. But as he was preaching, one of the first things he made a comment on that really touched my heart that first week is he made this comment as he was talking. He said, you know, he said, right now, he said, I'm just going to tell y'all something, church family. He said, now's when we're going to see how really close to God we are. He said, we're going to see what kind of daddies, what kind of husbands we have in our homes. He said, because if you can only, if your worship has quit because the church has stopped right now, he said, let's be honest, you didn't really have much of one to begin with. And boy, that spoke to my heart. And over the last few months, I've said, Lord, help me not to be like that. Amen. If it is like that, help me to get past that, to do better, ask your forgiveness, and to get where you want me to be, dear Lord. Amen? Is the best way I know to say it. And this morning, that's all I'm saying to you is, in our area of service today, have we taken and got to the place where things aren't where they need to be in our daily lives? I asked, you know, a couple questions this morning. Are we still witnessing for the Lord every day in word and in deed? You say, I ain't been out in public as much. You say, I don't go out every day. I'm at the home by myself. I'm the only person that's there. So I can't witness to somebody every day in word and in deed. And for some of y'all, that might be true. That might be the case. You can't. But when you can, are you? Amen? When you can, are you? But, you know, you think about there's more ways to serve the Lord other than just coming to church. There's more ways to serve the Lord other than just, although that's important. There's other ways to serve the Lord other than just being a witness, although we ought to do that, and that's very important. Amen? We can serve the Lord from our house every day, quarantined on, with the doors closed, the windows locked, and nobody else around. We still can serve God. Amen? We still can serve God. Amen? We still can. You say, what do you mean this, Pastor? I simply say this. We can take and listen to, hopefully you have, and I know most of you have, but I'm just giving some examples. We can take and be faithful in listening to the church services like most of y'all have done. Amen? I believe everybody has. Amen? We can listen to good, solid preaching. We can take and get in our Bible every day and read our Bible. That's one way we can serve God. Amen? We can take and pray to God. Amen? Talk to Him. Amen? We can have, that's another way we can serve God. So there's many different countless ways that we can serve God. I put this down in my notes the best way I know how to say it. There are so many ways for us to serve God even in these times. In some areas we may be limited or we may have to change how we do things now compared to how we did things before. But you know what? We still can serve God. Amen? There's no excuse for not serving God in the day and time that we live in today. As a matter of fact, we ought to have more of a desire to serve God. I'll be honest. I think we ought to be having even more of a desire to serve God now. Why? Because of what we see going on around us. If we had our head in the sand, if we had our nose in the sand, if you will, amen, not the whole head, but just the tip of the nose. Get it out of the sand, amen, this morning. And realize we need to serve God, because ready or not, here He comes. You say, what do you mean your nose and your head in the sand? Well, think about it. Some people got their whole head buried in the sand and they don't see nothing, amen? That's like when the ready or not, here I comes. Here's the tree, if you will, in hide and seek, and here you are over here, and that person looks up and they see the whole thing. Amen? They see everything and you think, boy, I was really not ready. Amen? But then the other part, you say the nose in the sand. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That's like when you take and he says, ready or not, here I come. The person looks up and they see that foot hanging out beside that tree. You've been there and done that too. Amen? Don't let the foot hang out this morning. Be ready. Amen? Be ready because God's coming back soon this morning in every area when it comes to our service. Amen? You say, I can't do this. I used to could do it in this way or that way, but now I can't do that. It's not, you know, well, let me tell you something. Ask God to show you a new way. Amen? Ask God, and I'm not talking about getting liberal and compromising. I'm not talking about that at all. Amen? I'm talking about simply a new method, maybe, if you will, is the best way I know to say it, a new avenue. Amen? If a road's blocked off and you drive down the road and they got construction going on and you can't get through, do you just quit and go home if you need to go to the grocery store and get the food you need to get and say, well, I guess I'll just starve to death. I can't get down the road. No, what do? You punch it in on the GPS, you drive around, you do like I did. As a matter of fact, while we've been going through all this, there was one day I was going to Lancaster, Brother Gary, to go down to that store. There was a bad, bad wreck that happened. Some of y'all may have saw it. Somebody died down that back road. I don't know what number it is. But anyway, it was a bad wreck. It had just happened, apparently, before I got there. There was like literally two cars, and the ambulance passed me going around to get to the scene, and then there was two cars stopped right there. That's how close it was to that happening. But anyway, I stopped, and I could tell it was going to be a long time before I got to move because it was so bad looking. And I took and I said, I have no clue how else to get to where I need to go without going a really long way around. You know what I did? I got out my GPS. Amen. One of the cars in front of me turned around. And I knew it was a vendor truck. that I knew was heading to Lancaster anyway, to where I was going. And I got out my GPS and I turned around right behind that vendor van and I started following him, and he took a turn down a road and my GPS said turn down that road. And I said, I don't know about this one. It was gravel. It was rough, Brother Donald. And I took off down that road, and guess what? It come all the way out on the other side, and I found a new way to get to work. Amen. I got to where I needed to go. Amen. I had to go a different route. I had to do something different than I'd ever done before. Did I compromise? No. Did I give in? Did I change what I believed in? No, I didn't do that. We shouldn't do that. We never should. Amen. And some people's doing that. We shouldn't do that. But we can find different ways, amen, to do things. And boy, how we ought to. And I think today that we ought to serve God, amen, with and follow His leading in these areas in our lives. We're not, I put this down in my notes, we're not on lockdown. And we never were and never will be when it comes to serving the Lord, amen. We're not on lockdown, amen, when it comes to serving God. We ought to serve Him every day. We can serve Him. There's so many ways we can serve God today. I ask you simply this morning, have you left your first love? This church was busy. This church was working. You saw that. I know thy works. This church was pointing out false teachers. This church was, boy, they were doing things for God. They had labored. They're laboring for the name of the Lord. Brother Gary, they hadn't fainted. They were keeping on, keeping on. But guess what? They were just doing it out of duties, the best way I know to read it and describe it. They wasn't doing it because they loved the Lord. They wasn't doing it because they wanted to serve Him. And today you think that's the way it is in a lot of Christians' lives and churches. They're doing it for praise. They're doing it to lift up and say, oh, I led this many people to the Lord. Or we got this many people in church. Or put my name up here in lights. Or all these types of things. It's pride if we're not careful. But I'm saying today we need to take and serve the Lord. We're not on lockdown when it comes to serving the Lord, and we never should be. Amen? Have you lost your first love? Revelation 3, the next chapter over, he's still talking to the seven churches, but it's a different church in Revelation 3 in verse number 14. Here he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He gives some good things here, some positive things at the beginning, if you will. But notice with me, let's look down at verse 15 for the sake of time. He says, I know thy works, the same thing he said about the other church, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now I'm going to stop right there just for a minute because I got to say this. I don't know about you, but I don't like things that are not cold. Amen? Especially sweet tea. Somebody say amen right there and I'll leave that alone. I don't like things that are not hot. I'll give you a perfect example. Some people can do this. If this is y'all, praise the Lord for it. Amen. I can't stand. We got some people at work and they'll do this and bless their hearts. I wish I was like this, but I ain't. They'll take and they'll, rather than me, I'll go up front and I'll buy a 20-ounce drink if I didn't take a drink to work that day. You know what I'm talking about, at the drink box up front. And I'll drink it, and here comes this guy walking down the aisle, and he'll have a six-pack of drinks off shelf, Brother Gary. And he'll take and he'll pull out one of them six-pack Mountain Dew. Well, I got my Mountain Dew. He'll pull out his six-pack Mountain Dew, pull out one out of it, pop the top, and just start drinking it straight off the shelf. And I'm sitting here thinking, what's the point? And I've said that to him, by the way, for too. I can't do that. Amen? That's lukewarm. Amen? It's neither cold. And most of the time, amen, unless it comes straight off the truck, then it might be hot. It's not really hot. It's lukewarm. I don't need that. That Mountain Dew don't do me no good until it gets cold. I don't want it hot either. It don't do me no good until it gets cold. Amen. The same thing's true today is what I'm simply saying when you think about our lives as believers. Amen. The Lord said today, He said, I wish you were either, you know, cold. This church, He said, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you was either cold or hot. I worked you were cold or hot, the Lord tells them. So then, because thou art what? Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot, I will what? Spew thee out of my mouth. That's kind of what I'd do if I take and drink a lukewarm drink. But yet that word spew means literally vomit. Okay? But you just spit it out. Amen? If you will. Because of the fact this thing no good. I think about many times we don't have any at home right now, but we'll have in the closet a 24-pack of water. Threw up in the closet. And that water will be threw up in there. Kelly will take and she'll go over there and she'll just grab one of the waters out the closet and start drinking it. And she's like, here, don't you? I said, I know. It's cold. I said, no, it ain't cold. It's been sitting in the closet. It's lukewarm. Amen. If I'm going to drink water, I want it to be cold. Amen, Brother Gary? I want it to be cold. And the Lord said today, He said, I wish you were cold or hot. Amen. But you're lukewarm. Amen. You think about today, I'm simply saying in our service, have we grown lukewarm? Amen. Have we grown lukewarm to the Lord? Have we left our first love and become lukewarm? Amen. You put these two passages together, and I ask the question, when it comes to our service, have we left our first love and become lukewarm? Amen. Have we become lukewarm? You think about today, has that the way it's become in our service for the Lord? Because realize this, ready or not, here He comes. Ready or not, here He comes. Turn with me to one more portion of Scripture this morning and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. A good verse of Scripture here and another pretty familiar verse. 2 Corinthians 6. And the Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 2. He says, For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I mark those two times that word now is used in this verse. May I say simply this morning, that the last thing I ask you, are you ready when it comes to your sin? Are you ready when it comes to your service? But are you ready when it comes to your salvation? Are you ready when it comes to salvation this morning? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. This time, this hour, this minute, this moment is your opportunity today to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is your chance today. Don't let this moment pass you by. I remember years and years ago, when I was a teenager, the Lord one day impressed this thought upon my heart. You know, you think about our time. We have hours, seconds, and minutes, right? And you think about today. And the Lord, one day the Lord pressed this thought on my heart and on my mind was this fact. Brother Gary, don't miss this second because you won't have a second chance to repeat it. And that's always stuck in my heart and mind. Don't miss this second because you won't have a second chance to repeat it. You say, what do you mean? There's been many times things have slipped out of my mouth in a second. Somebody say amen. There's been many times I've made a decision in a split second, and I wished I could go back and put what come out of my mouth back in my mouth, although it wouldn't taste very good. Amen. And there's times that I wished I could undo what decision I just made in that split second. But you know what? You can go back and try to fix it. You can, and you ought to. You can go back and try to confess it. Amen. You can say, I'm not going to do it again. Amen. And God will forgive you if you go to Him and ask forgiveness. Amen. But you know what? Guess what? It's still out there. And if somebody heard you say that, somebody saw you do that, guess what? It's there. It's there. May the Lord help us to realize we don't get a second chance with certain things. Amen. But I'm glad to know today that the Lord does take, at least in a lot of cases, and in most cases, not in all, it's not promised this, so don't go taking this the wrong way, what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm glad in most cases the Lord does give second chances. Amen. And then I could go on with thirds and fourths a lot of times too. Amen. I'm glad that He does that, but we're not guaranteed that. Amen. This morning, if the Lord's sitting here, and if you're sitting here and the Lord has spoke to your heart about your need of salvation, the fact that you're not ready in your heart or life, in your area of sin, in your area of service, or maybe with salvation, may I say this, the countdown is getting near the end. Amen. It's getting near the end. And once, if you will, that ready or not starts, it'll be too late. May I simply say today, get it right now between you and God. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. You're familiar with the verses of Scripture. I'll read them this morning to you. Romans 10:8. The Bible says, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. That means it's close to you. It's right there. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that I preached about this morning. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Notice verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. That's a promise. You can take it home. You can take it to the bank. Amen. If you will. The fact this morning that if you know the Lord, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? I tell you, it's an all-important question, and there's been a lot of people wondering and worrying around me and around you the last few months, what's going to take place tomorrow? You know what? I don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. I really don't. And you know, I've not really tried. Well, I guess in some ways I have tried guessing. I can't say that exactly. But, you know, I've got ideas. But we don't know for sure what's going to take place tomorrow. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. Amen. But may I say this morning? No matter what tomorrow brings, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we've done what these verses say, and we've taken and admitted that we're a sinner to Him, and we've placed our belief and faith and trust in Him and confessed that with our mouth to Him, like these verses say, and prayed and asked Him to forgive us, to save us, and placed our faith and trust in Him, guess what? I know one thing, that if the rapture was to take place tomorrow, or today, guess what? I know where I would be. I don't lay awake at night in my bed wondering and worrying what will happen tomorrow if the rapture takes place. What would happen tomorrow if the Lord did come back? What would happen tomorrow if I did take my last breath all of a sudden out of the blue? What would happen if I did get the coronavirus and die from it? I worry about that maybe when it comes to my family and my kids, how all that would work out. Amen. But as far as my salvation, my eternity, where I'm going to go, we don't have to worry about those things. Amen. Why? Because we know whom we have believed. And amen, as the Bible says and the song says, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm simply saying today, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ready when it comes to your salvation? Be ready. Amen. I think about that old hymn from years ago, and some of y'all probably are familiar with the words. I put it on the church's website last night, or Facebook page, excuse me, last night. If you look at it, and the song says this, have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? As He knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let Him in? Verse 2, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that He can enter in the heart for which He died. Boy, how many times you try to witness to somebody and they say later, why? What are they really saying? They don't have no room for Jesus. Verse 3 says, have you any room for Jesus? As in grace He calls again. We talked about that a while ago. Oh, today is time accepted. You will never call in vain. The last verse, room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon your heart left cold and silent. And this is the saddest part of the whole song to me. And the Savior's pleading cease. Have you any room for Jesus? The chorus goes on. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, His word obey. Swing the heart's door wildly open. Bid Him enter while you may. I ask you today, are you ready to meet the Lord? Saved today, do you have any room for Jesus in your life? Have you crowded Him out with the things of this world? Is there some place in your life the Lord's been wanting into and you've crowded Him out? May I encourage you today, get those things out of the way and say, Lord, I'm making room for You today. Take this area of my life. I'm giving it to You. Do you have any room for Jesus? The last few months have been eye-opening to me, and I think probably to most of you in a lot of ways. As we've seen before us unfold, I believe the best word I can figure out to say this morning is precursor. You say, what do you mean? I believe the precursor to the rapture. I believe the Lord has allowed these things to happen for many reasons, but I believe a part of it is this, that we as Christians and believers would wake up and make sure we're ready in our personal lives and homes, but that we would make sure that, guess what? We share in the gospel as much as we can, because the time is short. May I ask today, are you ready today, lost person, in your heart and your life? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? What will you do today? What will you do? I don't know about you, but the last few months I've had to make a lot of decisions in my family's life, in church, different things, and I've sought a lot of counsel and a lot of things about a lot of different things. Amen. And prayed about a lot of things before I did things. But let me ask you this. What are you going to do? We've made a lot of decisions. But I ask you today, what are you going to do when it comes to being ready to meet the Lord? Is there something that He spoke to your heart about that you need to do? Maybe even before the message this morning. Something you need to not do. May I encourage you to do whatever it is. Do whatever it is today. Are you ready concerning sin, service, and salvation? He's coming, as the old song says, soon and very soon. Amen. May I say today, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there, no more crying there. Amen. I'm glad we're going to see the King soon and very soon. It reminds me of the words at the end of Revelation when John said this, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." He was looking for it, believed He was coming back at any minute. And if He was way back then, why in the world should we not be doing the same thing today? Why in the world should we not be doing the same thing today? The next thing on God's timetable is what we read in Thessalonians. I ask you today, are you ready to go and see the King, to meet Him in the air? And then as the rest of our text verses said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I close by asking two questions and we'll be done. The next verse that followed our text verse in Thessalonians that I did not read, I don't think, this morning, the last verse of chapter 4 says this, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I ask you today, are these words of comfort to you? If these are not words of comfort to you this morning, then you know what that means? You're not ready. If you've been sitting here and your heart's been panting, about to beat out of his chest, you've been nervous, you've been sweating, not because of the air, but because of something else, guess what? The Holy Spirit's trying to tell you, if it ain't comforting, you ain't ready, because for the brethren that he was talking to in those verses, those things are comforting. Amen. We're going to miss those things, the tribulation. We're waiting on the Lord to come back, and out we're going to go. Amen. Not to say there ain't going to be bad things beforehand, but it's not going to be as bad as it will get. May I say simply this today, are you ready? Are these words comforting to you? Are you ready? Because realize this, the countdown's happening, and very soon we're going to hear the trump sound. The call's going to come from heaven, and it's going to be, ready or not, here I come. And sheep, y'all come on up. We're going to go to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Today, believer, take comfort. And if you're not a believer, may I say today, take conviction and come to know Him as your Savior before it's eternally too late. Let's pray.